Recovery 101. Guaranteed so much fun. From the Tombstone Studio, two gals and a crazy bro. Listen, download, and play again. Share the show with all your friends. No need to be feeling blue. The mandate here is Rule 62. Laugh along with the boozy news. The news that's not fit for booze. So come on and join the fun. From Tombstone, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, it's Recovery 101.
Thank you to Monty for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACA, GAPA, SLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, HAFA, any of them there, guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as you will discover shortly. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelly.
Tara.
Jeremy.
Shelly's thing on the... On the mixing board, and as soon as she said Shelly, it just big blast of red on it.
I have a forceful personality.
Not that anybody at home gives a crap about that. So because we did a thing about New Year's last show, anybody have any New Year's resolutions that you're not going to keep?
No. I'm going to be the same jerk I've been for the last... How old am I? 50 years. I'm kidding.
I'm like at the point where I don't even make resolutions anymore. That was stuff for my 20s. I just don't even waste my time with it.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm out of that whole I'm going to change phase. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? I've changed from fucking AA, and that's about the only thing I'm
going to do. I was going to say, I'm going to do the same resolution. I'm going to do the same resolution that I do every year. I am not going to drink or use.
There you go.
Hey, and I can do that one. Do you remember, like, back in the day, you'd be like, I'm going to quit drinking. And it'd be like the next day, and you're like, oh, wait, the Rose Bowl game is on. Oh, yeah.
Hey. I think I'd like to quit all nicotine use this year.
Don't be a quitter.
Don't be a quitter.
I need to get off. I need to get off the vape juice.
I need to get off, too.
I'll get you off.
I need to get off.
Oh, for crying out loud, you guys are gross. Why do we always degenerate into this madness?
We're like Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGenerate.
Degenerates.
That would be fucking funny.
I don't think you could get off of nicotine, though. Seriously. I don't think you could.
Well, Jeremy, I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Well, it's all about the confidence, baby.
It's reverse psychology. He's telling you can't sure so that you'll is. Go, oh, I'll show you, yeah, and
I'll
then
show
you'll go
you,
do it.
Motherfucker.
I've got a defeatist personality. If I don't think I can do something, I just won't even try. So that's like the worst thing you could say to me. So I need
was,
you to be
I
encouraging.
I was quitting cigars the other day.
I just don't know if I want to be around you while you're trying to quit nicotine, baby.
That's why I don't quit nicotine.
We did it before for like a month and a half.
Right, but I was out of town.
I quit on accident the other day. It's like I just didn't feel like smoking. You know, a cigar, I just didn't feel like smoking. Next day, I didn't feel like smoking. It was like most of the way through the third day, I'm like, all right, I have smoke now. But it was weird because I thought it was going to be worse than it was. I mean, really, I could have just probably quit. But I enjoy smoking cigars. But, I mean, I didn't feel like... The weird thing with cigars is I don't get nick bits like that. Like, I don't get up in the morning and be like, oh, I really got to have a smoke. So...
I feel like that with my vape. I don't crave it nearly as much.
I don't get up in the morning and say, oh, I have to have a smoke. And I smoke cigarettes. I get up in the morning and I think, I'm not dead. Yay. And then I say, thanks for the day, God. Let's get started. And then I take... my ibuprofen so that I can actually move, and I feed the dogs. And then when the coffee is ready, then it is time to smoke.
You know what's funny? When she is, there's been a couple times in the past where she's decided, I'm going to quit. The night before, she hasn't even quit yet, and already she's like practically crying. She's like, and I'm like, well, and it'll be like, 9:30 a.m. and she is just like frantic. And I'm like thinking to myself, how many times like do you go to work and you work for these long extended periods of time you don't have to smoke? I quit every night when I go to sleep.
I don't get it.
I could sleep for 9 hours, no problem, don't have a smoke. But when it's daytime,
see,
it's an issue.
Here's what I don't get. We go on a hike, right? And I'm cheesed off because I have to get a trash bag and go and pick up everybody's friggin' cigarette butts on the trip because, I'm sorry, that's just gross. You're out in the middle of the beautiful wilderness and you're leaving your cigarette butts around? I'm a smoker. I don't do that. My thinking is, if you can't not smoke for 3 hours to take a, you know, 2 mile hike or whatever you're doing, you don't need to be out in the wilderness. You need to be staying home and smoking your cigarettes and not leaving your butts there for me to pick up. So
it
how
is really
it
rude?
Yeah, well, how is it that I can go? I mean, I used to work for like 6 to 8 hours at a stretch. Sometimes I wouldn't even take my lunch break, and I didn't go out and smoke because I worked in a library and there were kids in the building, and I didn't want them to see me smoking because I was the story time lady.
So where I work,
so why can't I quit if I can go that?
Oh
long?
Yeah, you can't smoke there, right?
Yeah, so there's not supposed to be any like nicotine products on campus, and so that's not really how things work, but that's the rule. But so I'm expected to be on the floor with the kids like the whole time, and the state of Arizona does not require that employers give you any break time at all. Not even a 5 minute break in a 16-hour shift. Yes, in the state of Arizona, there's no requirement that they give you a single break at all. So while I'm at work, I'm expected to be on the floor with the kids the whole time. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I'll step back in the staff office.
Which of you kids want to go out and have a smoke?
Yeah, we've got nicotine tests right there so we can test the kids anytime we want to. So that would be really, really bad. We've actually had staff get fired for giving kids, like, dip and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I can't use nicotine pretty much the whole time that I'm there. So I've started going like 16 hours without any nicotine. It's like killing me. But
you know what that means. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Oh my God. What the hell is going on here?
Oh my God.
I thought I'd let Jeremy try it. He blew it.
Shelly. She still goes too fast for me, but
see, the thing is that the teletype sound is a sound that most of our listeners have never heard.
Right. They don't give a
so
shit.
So they don't get it.
Yeah, nobody cares. You guys should give that thing up and just like come up with something
else. Well, the problem is now we can't give it up because we have listeners that are young people, but they think the dudes are a thing. Like, we've gotten mail about how awesome the dudes are, so cute, and they don't know what it is. But
no, you know what we could do?
What?
We could like record some kind of like CNN sounding kind of thing, like
we can actually put the sound
from all four corners of the earth. It's Rick, you know. Okay, so
shout outs
to DJC, Deborah G, Stephen, Dakota, Dan, Stryker, Alexandra, Jane, Lynn, Lori, Faith, Sally, Natalie, John, Carol, Georgette, Jack, Corrine, Bill, Fran, James, Johnny, Allen, Damon, Lee.
Okay, good. Now let's move on.
Let's move. So let me come down here. Let's see. Where are we going?
You're going to story number 6, please.
I know. I'm trying to, but.
There it is.
Oh. Oh, my God. Now, we might have done this story a long time ago.
Okay, so
but
we're doing it again?
I mean, like, it would have been
how
a
is this
long
news?
Time ago.
You said queso.
But there's this guy, and
I'm hungry.
This guy's name is Nick Griffiths. And Nick Griffiths lost 3 toes to frostbite. He was a participant in one of the coldest long-distance races on Earth. And
congratulations,
he reached a totally bizarre decision for what to do with his detached digits.
Eye roll.
During the race, he had lost 3 of his toes.
That's dedication.
Had to have them amputated. Rather than simply disposing of the toes, he decided to donate them to a remote Canadian bar that has a use for them in a signature drink they have called the Sour Toe Cocktail.
I think no I remember
way.
That.
Part. No
Which famously way. Includes a dehydrated human toe.
Yes, I remember.
Now this is
about that.
From
Does
a,
it bring
a
you
this
to
is
Utopia?
From an article in the Toronto Star that said, "Would you drink this mummified toe cocktail?"
No.
Nope.
So, it the temperatures drop to minus 58 degrees, and after 30 hours on the trail, you know, his toes were done.
Something's falling off.
So, something, yeah. Yeah, don't take a pee.
I'm hoping it's your toes.
Don't take a pee anywhere. So, he heard about a woman talking about this thing, a nurse that was at the place where he had his toe amputated, that she talked about having this thing at the Sourdough Saloon in the Yukon Territory. So he decided to take him there. The saloon has offered it to intrepid imbibers, a tradition launched in 1973. There's photographs of this too. And you drink it, but you get watched by a toe captain because they don't want your lips touching the toe. So you can drink it, but you gotta drink it.
Ew.
It has to have you can make the cocktail out of anything you want. You know, the only thing that it has to be a sour toe cocktail is it's gotta have this, you know, cut off toe. Are you ready for this? 100,000 people have drinking the sour toe.
Drinking? Really?
Drink.
Consumed.
Consumed.
So it's not like the mezcal worm or anything.
In the decade since the grizzly drink first. Now, out of those 100,000, only 10 toes have been used. 10. And what they do is they take it, when they're done with it, they take it out and they freeze dry it again.
Well, it's probably disinfected really good, huh?
Well, and they said, we always prefer big toes, you know, the big toe, because they're the meatiest.
I found a thing on Google search on The Guardian, June 20th, 2017. Apparently, right about that time, the mummified toe that was served in drinks was stolen.
Oh.
Who would steal a mummified toe that's been served in people's drinks? A drunk person. That's
who. I was going to say one of us.
Okay, so Damon sent this one in. This is a guy, he buried himself alive for 3 days. A former addict buried himself alive for 3 days to raise awareness about the opioid crisis. So this guy, John Edwards.
Is he dead?
He got clean after a religious experience helped him change his life around.
Is that the ghost guy?
But it wasn't until he attended the funeral of a friend who died from a drug addiction that he came up with the idea to bury himself and stream it on social media. So he hooked up an 8-foot by 4-foot coffin with cameras and fiber optic cables so he could stream his burial and offer conversation to people online. So he used the hashtag GraveChat, and many people reached out to him, and he said if he could save at least one life during the process, that it would make it worth it.
Is this the guy, John Edwards, that does the Beyond the Grave thing where he's like talking to dead people and stuff?
No, this is an addict.
8-foot by 4-foot coffin?
That's a pretty big coffin. That's like
a double coffin, isn't it?
I would imagine that he wanted to be able to do some movement around. I don't think he was trying to make it like he was actually buried.
I mean, I'm sure he had to have one of those urination jugs and some food down
that's
there.
True.
Some have snacks to have something. Or something.
People are looking at him in the grave chat, they're like, dude, what are you doing with your right hand?
You ain't dead. You ain't dead yet.
Oh, Damon also sent this one. Alcohol is killing more adults in the U.S. than the opioid epidemic.
It always has.
That's what I thought.
I don't know why that's news.
I thought it always
had. I'm honestly surprised by that.
But
strangely enough, everybody, and this is just an example of how this happens. Everybody thinks Amy Winehouse died of drug abuse. She didn't. She died of alcohol detox. More people die of alcohol detox than because, seriously, you can literally
die from it. Yeah.
Well, according to this, opioid epidemic kills an average of 72,000 people a year, while alcohol kills 88,000. And there are lots of other deaths that are probably alcohol related that they can't necessarily pin on.
Right. Driving.
You get the people that do stupid
domestic
things
violence.
You know, they're. I mean, imagine the guy who's
suicide.
Trying to fix breaking his toaster. you know, and he's drunk trying to fix his toaster and electrocutes himself to death. I mean, there's all kinds of things that
I could do that sober.
Most most people affected by alcohol dying are women, young women. Among women, deaths have risen 67%, while for men, only 27%. And they say that it's because women typically weigh less than men, and it's just
except for me,
weight versus alcohol thing.
And supposedly binge drinking amongst like younger people has become so much bigger. So yeah, like that. There didn't used to be a lot of women that would like binge drink.
Yeah.
You know.
You want to hear a crazy thing too? Since 2015, 9.3% of women surveyed drank alcohol while pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did.
51% yeah, I did of too. Women drink alcohol in general. 22% of them engage in binge drinking. And 61.3% of men drank in the month prior to the survey. And 32% in binge drinking. So,
you know, I drank when I was pregnant with Connor because my obstetrician told me to.
I drank with Killian and Evan. I mean, it was never very much. It was like a glass or two of wine or like a beer or something. But I drank during both pregnancies.
Well, I was 2 weeks past my due date, and my obstetrician said, go home, have two beers, eat a pizza, and then lay down. I was in labor like 5 hours later.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Another one from Damon, Parker County. Parker County is, I don't know where it is, but a wedding photographer was arrested Saturday night. Because she had sex with a wedding guest at the ceremony, then urinated on a tree near the event and threatened deputies as she was being taken to jail. She had to post a $10,738 bail. It sounds like a lot for that.
Wow.
But she could not be reached for comment. They responded to a call. A security guard, an off-duty sheriff's deputy, reported wedding guests had found Meta having sex with one of the guests in a room at the venue. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, and see, this is where I was going with that.
This must be in the South somewhere.
And because, you know.
Like in the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Now, I think that maybe, though.
Right.
She was having sex with someone, but she's the wedding photographer.
So?
So what?
Shouldn't she be taking pictures of the reception? I mean, aren't they paying to have her?
I don't think you want pictures of that.
Do you think they're you think they're paying for her to be off banging one of the guests in the corner?
Well, sure, but I mean, how many people have had sex at a wedding? Like, it's far as I know, it's like a fairly common thing to do.
Yeah,
but probably not for the photographer who's supposed to be taking pictures of like the reception.
Why is everybody being judgy?
Yeah, I mean, hey.
If it's not the bride or the groom. I mean, they were in a hotel room.
Well, look, right. The groom was having sex with the maid of honor.
Really?
No, I just added that in because it sounded better for the story.
I'm like, I'm really hoping that's not true.
So she just had public intoxication. Intoxication and obstruction retaliation, according to jail records. So $10,000 seems
for public intox. And what was the other one?
She threatened the officers.
Oh, that was what did it. Yeah, that was what did it.
You know what it was? You know what it was? Peeing on the tree. That's what got her arrested.
I would think that would be a public service.
So
it would keep the deer from rubbing on the barks. Yeah, the barks. What is wrong with me? My plurals are getting away from me here.
So in the Northern Territory of Western Australia, a woman called their equivalent of 911. Which isn't 911, but whatever it is.
I think it's 999.
And she called because she said that the weed from her dealer has gotten way too expensive.
That's legit.
And that was her emergency.
People are calling 911 for everything anymore.
She specifically complained about her drug dealer, but she suddenly realized, oh, I'm on the phone with the cops. So she hung up. But the cops thought it was pretty hilarious.
Too late.
So on their Facebook page, they put a thing up, a meme that said if people knew of a drug dealer who was ripping the public off, they should call the police with their number.
Yes.
So hopefully they said they're hoping
someone will.
They'll probably
get a few calls. You never know. Okay. That's the.
Oh, huh? That's it. No, it's not.
Yes. Yes.
No.
We are way over time because we spent too long talking about that other crap.
Last time we were at 20 minutes. We're okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So, we'll make this one the last recovery one. Tennessee.
So my dad's
from Memphis.
On Thursday,
last Thursday, Steak and Shake waitress Jakivia Montel Yerby.
Hey, Ron.
Jakivia Montel Yerby. Three names.
Oh, yes, three names.
Was leaning over the cop. She was serving. She's a server at the restaurant. And she was like pouring him coffee.
She was servicing the police officer.
Yeah. Well, she dropped a baggie of cocaine out of her bra.
Oh, party foul!
Oh my golly!
Right into his drink.
Oh my! Oh, I'd be like, oh, let me get you a fresh cup. I think this is cold.
And the cop
that's
was
like
there.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
He was there for an assault charge, and while he was there, they decided they'd give him something to drink. And she opened her. She also had some in her bra because I remember there's something about her bra. She opened her waitress book right,
and it fell out.
And one fell out, and then.
What restaurant was this at?
Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake. How is she affording cocaine at a Steak and Shake?
Good question.
Because it says she also admitted. Yeah. That not only did she drop the one baggie of cocaine in there, but she also admitted to having a baggie of cocaine in her bra. So she had two baggies of coke.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Why you split it up? You sell them.
Oh, we got to do this.
No.
Montana.
Montana.
Nothing ever happens in Montana. We've never done a Boozy News on Montana. Ever.
Well, we're about to. So, this guy was pretty sure he saw Bigfoot, so he opened fire.
Well, it was Dick Cheney.
It was actually a guy who was setting up targets for shooting, and the 27-year-old victim narrowly avoided death when one bullet hit 3 feet to his left, another one whizzed by him on his right, and... Yeah, he said, I thought you were Bigfoot. The Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton told the paper. Then he says,
that's not where Bigfoot
lives. Target practice, but if I see something that looks like a Bigfoot, I just shoot at it. Then he allegedly told the guy, if you don't want to be confused with Bigfoot, maybe you should wear one of them big orange jackets.
Why do you have a southern-ish kind of accent if he lives in Montana?
Because... this guy probably moved to Montana.
You gotta say like A and take off.
Yeah,
A. Take off hoser. And
hey, A.
Yo,
hey,
hoser.
Put on that orange jacket, eh? You look like Bigfoot, eh? And that, my friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
Thank
and
God.
The news is not fit for booze. That was closer. That was closer.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Okay, so the holidays are over.
Yay.
By the time this show goes up, the holidays will be over. So, this is the decompression season. You know, everything's kind of built up to like this fever pitch. And you get a Thanksgiving, you got to do all this stuff, and you got to have this big dinner. And then you get to Christmas, and then it's New Year's. And it's like suddenly.
And you end up on Christmas eating at IHOP.
That's what we did.
Because Cracker Barrel, or because
Golden
Corral
was closed.
And their Yelp said they were going to be open.
That is messed up.
Of course, I looked up several other restaurants on my phone that said they were open, and so we went to one, and they were closed too. So I'm like...
none of them were open. She said, restaurants near us that are open on Christmas, and they weren't open on Christmas.
Not even a little bit.
No, not even
so
a little bit.
So what's the topic again? Sorry.
So...
my resentment caught me off track.
So we get through all this stuff, right? And there's all this buildup, and there's all this, and there's all this... and suddenly there's nothing. Although if you go to Dollar General, they already have Valentine's Day on the shelves.
They told us about that.
Yes.
That they had just gotten it in, the one over by us.
Yes.
What's the point of that? It's not even January.
It's loaded up. It's loaded up right now. There's all kinds of parts.
It's all about the money.
But so for people that have like, they've made it through, right? You've made it through this season sober. And now suddenly, there's nothing, right? Like, you got nothing
yes,
to do.
Yes, there is. What are you talking about? Tax season is right around the corner.
Yeah, like alcoholics pay their taxes.
I definitely pay my taxes.
We did.
Yeah, that's
true.
I pay my taxes sometimes.
I pay somebody's taxes.
That's why we still do our taxes separately.
No, but what do you guys think about, like, the people that have, because I would imagine there's a group of people out there that newer people, and they're like, I'm going to be spending all my time with my relatives, and I gotta stay sober this year, man. I gotta, because every other year I just fucked it up. And so this year they stayed sober and they white knuckled it and they went to, you know, massive meetings and all that. And suddenly they're not, now they don't have the watchful eyes of all the relatives over them. And they're probably not going to have until at least Memorial Day or Labor Day or something like that. Maybe not even till next year. What kind of advice would you guys give the people that have been so built up about staying sober? Oh, I'm going to stay sober this holiday. And suddenly they have. And now that kind of thing that they were using as their crutch is gone.
The climax is over. Yeah.
Hi.
You see what I did there?
Hi. Go outside and smoke a cigarette.
Hi. Well, oh.
I would just say, I hope that you really want it. I hope that you really want it for you, because otherwise you're not going to have any reason to stay clean and sober. And it's really, really beautiful whenever you do. So stay busy with meetings, stay busy with doing fun young people's activities and stuff. I mean, if you are in any like decent size area, there are people of all ages that are doing like
load of stuff.
Bowling groups and bingo groups. I don't know. I mean, I don't know camping what older people groups. Do, but all of that stuff. My kids love sober camping. All of our kids love sober camping. That was whenever I got sober again in 2015. The kids, like, that was the first thing they asked was, are we going to sober camping? And I was like, yeah, it's in like 2 weeks. We're definitely going. And they were so excited. There's just so much fun stuff to do.
We need a tent.
I don't camp. You can sleep in a tent. I'm going home.
Yeah, you got to do something for your sobriety every day. If you really want it, and you actually retract that. If you're already thinking that you have a drinking problem and you're trying to not drink, then you probably have a problem. And yep. You need to do something for your sobriety every day. You got to go to meetings. You got to work these steps. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Get a sponsor.
We used to
an accountability buddy.
We used to go to this meeting at the Solano Club, and it was called Questions and Answers. I like to call it Questions and Opinions, but, you know, it was Questions and Answer meetings, and there would always be that one question. How do I know if I'm an alcoholic? And I'm like, bro, whoever wrote this, you're sitting in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous wondering if you're an alcoholic. That's a pretty big sign that you're an alcoholic, because you know what? Normal big people time. Don't do that shit. No one normal goes, hey, I'm just going to go by Alcoholics Anonymous and see what's shaking tonight. Yeah, maybe I'm an alcoholic. No, that doesn't ever happen.
Try some controlled drinking.
Man, I never tell people that. You're sending people out there for a death sentence. Yeah.
I tried it. And you know what? The first night, I went out and I said, I'm going to try some control, because I thought I was a cocaine addict, right? I'm like, I'm going to try some controlled drinking. So I went out, I ordered one drink, stopped drinking, danced a few times, ordered a couple Diet Pepsis, went home, no problem. And I'm like, I'm clearly not an alcoholic. I said, you know what? I didn't really catch a buzz on that. I'm going to go back tomorrow night and I'm going to drink two drinks. And I went back and I drank two drinks, and I danced a few times, and I drank some soda, and I went home, and I go, clearly, I'm not an alcoholic. I said, you know, I really didn't get buzzed off that either. I said, tonight I'm going to go back. I'm going to have four drinks, because I know I'll get a buzz off four drinks. So I go there. I have four drinks. This buddy I haven't seen in a long time comes in and goes, hey, where you been, man? The dealer buddy of mine. I said, I've been out getting sober. And he looks, he goes, you got four empties in front of you right now. Let's go get some shit. I said, okay. And I was like, oh. And, you know, there I was from one drink to four drinks in 2 days, you know, and I'm like, oh, man. So my control, I had lack of control. Mm-hmm. I went straight, you know, it's like I was talking to someone earlier on the phone, my cousin. You know, I'm like, you know what? I used to love weed. If I could smoke weed without drinking or without getting loaded, I would for sure do it. My problem is I can't. I've tried it before. You know, it's like no matter what it is, if I do anything, I'm like, well, you know you're not really sober. You know that you already did. You might as well go do what you really want to do, which for me is going to be cocaine or maybe speed. And then I'll need like OxyContin or something to come down. Yeah, it's going to be a freaking mess. So what do you guys have planned for like the now that the holidays are past? Oh, you decided to come back, Shelly?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hang on anymore. I had to use the little girl's room.
Well, why don't you give your answer to that question?
What's the question?
No, there was no question.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it. So what do you guys like what you know, the next holiday, really, besides like President's Day, you know, that's in March. Next one's Valentine's Day.
Holiday.
President's Day is in February.
Is there anything going on around here? Like, is there? Does anybody do like the camping things like this time of year? Because it's freaking cold.
I don't think so. It's too cold. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's actually there's a convention of some sort. I think it's AA up in Sedona in January sometime, and I'm gonna go up there for work for the weekend.
Oh, that's badass.
Excursion pay. I love that I get paid to go to conventions and like campouts and stuff.
Yeah,
it's
no, that's awesome.
It's so cool, man.
That's so cool. Awesome.
I get to show these kids what recovery is like. And, you know, it's so different than how they are on the ranch. You know, just they're like, oh, we go to these meetings and it's in these towns with all these old people and there's no young people in sobriety out here. And I'm like, okay, so now we're going on this trip and it's going to be a bunch of younger people and you guys get to see what it's really like.
I have been surprised at the, I mean, you guys are younger, but I mean, you're in your 30s, right? You're 30?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of really young people down here in this area.
No. There's not even a lot of people around our age in this area.
No.
I mean, I don't mind that. It's just in terms of like being in recovery, there's not a whole lot of people that want me to attempt to kill them but with my sponsorship down here.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a few years on me. So imagine how hard it is for me as a 33-year-old woman to try to find sponsees in this area.
Yeah. And you're supposed to because we got to give it away to keep it.
And you know what's That's why I just do it at work. I look around meetings here and it's like I'm not that much younger than a lot of these guys, but I'm like, oh, I'm younger than these guys. I mean, I'm age-wise, I'm not that much younger, but it's like I am way younger than a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, man. I'm like, dude, let me borrow your walker, man.
I do have to. I do have to apologize. I accidentally turned the furnace off, and I'm sitting here going, is there a draft in here? And I realized it was 58 degrees, so I turned the furnace back on.
It was 58 degrees in here?
Yes, yes. So if anybody was freezing, that's why.
Well,
I just thought there was a draft or something, so.
So what are your guys' final thoughts on decompressing after the holidays?
Well, since I was in the bathroom for most of it, I don't really have any thoughts on that other than, you know, I don't know.
We talked about, like,
people
that were staying sober because they were hanging out with family and they wanted to not screw everything up again.
Well, now the stress is off. Just go do something fun.
Not drugs.
What?
Go do something fun, Shelly, but not drugs.
Right.
Oh, Shelly's quick to do the
drugs.
Hugs,
not drugs.
Oh, no, Shelly's all about that, especially weed. She loves weed. Makes her physically sick. And she goes to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Tell me how that works. Tara?
I would say if you don't have one yet, get a sponsor because they're going to help keep you accountable like your family members have been doing during the holidays. And that's going to be probably the biggest step that you can take right now in recovery.
What I love about the program is it's like taking an open book test at school, right? You can open the book. You can read pretty much anything anywhere. You can go to classes. You can get a tutor that you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's fantastic.
No, somebody calls me at 3 a.m. I ain't answering.
I answered the phone at 3 a.m. last night, as a matter of fact.
I'm just saying, I'm not answering because I probably won't hear it.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
And take care of you.
And if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always had.
And you don't have to fuck shit up no more.